This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 1st of January, 1961. The title of this lecture is The Whole Answer to the Problems of the Mind. This tape is 59 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to wish you a happy AD 11. Happy New Year. Okay, it's about time you woke up after that horrible evening you had last night. Well, I have good news for you today, very, very good news for you today. We're going to talk about practically nothing but technical all afternoon. Your case and you, God help you now. But that's all right. You may even survive these lectures. There are cases which have been known to survive these lectures. That's right. That's right. We have several people who have. Now, there's probably a lot of things I could tell you. One of the things I could tell you is that if you want to get a professional auditor certificate, you'd better roll in the academy this week, because it is about to disappear as an academy course. We're about to teach a practical Scientology course, which is the same as the old professional course, but you don't get the certificate. After you've gone through the standard course to a course completion certificate for practical Scientologists, you then begin to study Scientology. And when we think you are ready for it, and when we think you can run a central organization, and when we think you can clear cases, and when we think a lot of other things, you might get a certificate if you're nice. That's a change, isn't it? That lets everybody have auditing in lieu of training. They can go and, oh, nobody got that joke. Please wake up! A lot of people enroll in the academy just to get processed. Got it? And what the hell is this, an English audience? Now, anyway, the exact lineup, because of the new PE Foundation setups and the expansion of central organizations and a lot of other things, it isn't wise to go on teaching a professional auditor course at an 8-week level, because the tremendous numbers of people want this course just for its information, and you will be able to enroll tremendous numbers of people in a practical Scientology course, and it can be taught by any central organization. But after this, we're going to have to be awfully choosy about auditors, believe me. And an auditor who doesn't know a central organization would be a lost dog. And he'd have to be pulled into a central organization and trained and groomed and have to retake all the weeks that the instructor in the academy, you see, said, yes, you passed, you're through. And then he comes back for his certificates, you see. He's now decided at a very small extra cost, you see, very small. He comes back and he says, well, I think I want to be a professional auditor. All has changed. And the instructor, the academy administrator, goes down the list and he says, well, you flunked week 2, week 5, week 7. You flunked your examination on the axioms. Now, when you retake those, we can talk some more. You get the idea. We intend to be real rough on a professional level and let lots of people know all there is to know about Scientology. That's a new policy. And after this week, it'll be in effect in Washington. Your last chance to get a certificate easy. I'm not trying to sell you certificates, I'm just giving you a warning. Now, we're getting cases off the bottom. We're scraping them from below bottom. We move them up through the negative gain stages to a point where they're at the bottom. A tremendous number of changes have taken place. Let me start in at the beginning and tell you how auditing sets up these days. There are two distinct classes of auditing. Two distinct classes. For the last 10 or 11 years, I'm the only one who's been able to do class two. But that doesn't say it doesn't exist. I've been able to teach a very few auditors here and there a few of the tricks of class two auditing. Very few. But it still exists and is a class of auditing. It would turn Mr. Sigmund Freud around in his grave like a whirling dervish and paint him a bright green with envy. You can do a 5-year psychoanalysis in an afternoon. That's Dianetics. You ever hear of it? So we exhume that from its grave, and it exists again. And it had better exist because you're the first time for a long while going to be facing the raw public. You'd be surprised what happens in central organizations. They've all gotten down to a point where it's a big club, see? And we know everybody, and we know all their withholds, and why their cases didn't advance, and who they knew and didn't know, and so on. Well, that's great. Well, that club still exists. It's not being wiped out by a long way. It still exists, and it'll get bigger. But we're going to start handling the raw public, raw meat. They walk off the street and feel through the door, you know. And they say, I have nightmares every night. They don't say, what's Scientology? We just assume suddenly that we're the total monopoly in the field of psychotherapy throughout the world. We don't bother to explain to them what we're doing. We do it. This gets on some central organization's nerves. You want to see a central organization the first time it starts facing nothing but raw meat off the street. They didn't know cases could be that low. You've got to be able to do a 5-year psychoanalysis in an afternoon. Otherwise, you can't get the fellow to sit in the chair. Today, Dianetics is done with an E-meter. He takes your E-meter, and the PC takes his chance. You can clear up a neurosis, a psychosis, something like that in a relatively few hours. Now, in view of the fact that the target of Scientology is not neurosis or psychosis, we've never paid much attention to this particular field. But it still exists as a class of auditing. And we mustn't forget that it does, because it ends psychotherapy as an end of cycle. You think I'm kidding? There are many items which aren't immediately and directly hit by Scientology auditing. In other words, you don't take the fellow's goals and immediately translate them into accomplishment the way you sometimes did in Dianetics, you know? Bang, you know? You work on him, you get increase his reality, you make him more and more capable of understanding and living in the real universe around him. You don't pay too much attention to what is wrong with him. You find out what is right with him and you improve that ability. Well, out in the raw public, the bulk of the cases have something so wrong with them that there's no ability to improve. So that end of the angle had better be known and had better be known right well. Girl comes in, and she has a terrible fear of husbands. And she's so afraid of husbands that she can't even sit in the auditing chair. Well, your best bet is to cure of this neurosis, because it's a neurosis. She's got a win now, and she can go on from there. It's an incidental activity, but it's quite valuable. Now, Dianetics can do that. Dianetics is yesteryear. Way back when, but it's still very valuable. And what we know about the E-meter today, it becomes extremely valuable. HCO secretary a short time ago said, down in Johannesburg, says, well, I don't know, there's one thing that nobody's ever got to. I have a terrible fear of snakes. We're sitting in the living room, my house down there, and a couple of guys were sitting there. I didn't even use an E-meter. Ran her back down the track, found the engram necessary to resolve the case. and ran the engram. 20 minutes later, she had no further fear of snakes and hasn't had since. What's this, a 20-minute run of an engram? Did anybody blink, or did they think they heard wrong? You know that it takes 75 hours to run an engram. Not if you can audit. Longest I think I ever spent on an engram was 9 hours. It's been very hard to teach people this, but there's a new way of running engrams. I will give you immediately and directly what it is. There is an area of existence known as experience, the willingness to experience. And when an individual will not have anything further to do with something, he becomes the effect of it. Right? The poor girl who leaves home and leaves her husband because she can't stand him anymore thinks she will be happy, but she goes off down the road with his valance shoved into her face. She is now the total effect of him because she can't stand there anymore. In other words, she's unwilling to experience. Unwillingness to experience is the tombstone of all cases. This fellow's going down the street saying, creak, 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 creak. Just about ready to run for president or something. Totally done in. And, what do you know about this man? That exact condition is what he is unwilling to experience. So he's in it. People become the total effect of those things they are unwilling to experience. The whole political grab bag of the Northern Hemisphere at this particular time is based and predicated on one thing only. They are unwilling to experience an A-bomb. So all politics, and before you know it, all personal behavior will be colored by this one thing. And people will be going around saying, boom, boom, boom. We used to say, that which you resist, you become. Well, that's another way of saying the same thing. But this is a little more thorough and a little more practical statement of it. That which you're unwilling to experience, you become. There's somebody sitting back there right now in a uniform of a soldier who doesn't want to be in that uniform. This, you understand, doesn't mean that everybody, being what he is being, has been obsessively unwilling to experience it. Do you follow that? That doesn't mean that. This means that your super reactive, unthinking, unanalytical level, this condition obtains. You can always find some justification of this. You can find times when you were unwilling to be a human being. That isn't the reason you are a human being. It isn't true that all things in this universe are bad. It is true that all things that are thought bad in this universe are bad. But this unwillingness to experience opens up an entire new field of the running of an engram. And it cracks Dianetics. I haven't got very much news for you, Miss Congress. We've just ended cycle on Dianetics. Because you can run this. Now, Dianetics is a blackjack psychotherapy. In the hands of a Dianetic auditor who is willing to apply the force, a PC hasn't got a prayer. Now, the PC's self-determinism may not improve. The PC may not get better as a human being, but the PC will cease to be sick or nuts. You see what can happen there? The technology easily overwhelms the aberrations and psychosomatic illnesses of the case. The technology overwhelms. It doesn't necessarily make the person better, but it certainly straightens them out. Very often you will find a PC with Dianetic therapy being most recalcitrant about the whole thing. It was a fellow came into a central organization on a wheelchair, you know, and he was all crippled up, arthritis, you know. And they audited him for a while. He finally got rid of the wheelchair. A few months later, he was found on a golf course. He was there playing golf, you know, also striking for president. And a friend of his said to him, "Well, that Dianetic sure fixed you up, didn't it?" "No," he said, "didn't do a thing for me. Didn't do a single thing for me. Still got my asthma." He was cured of an incurable illness and never found out about it. And this, you can ask old pros, and by George, they'll tell you, there's just case after case like this. So we can assume that the technology of Dianetics can overwhelm the psychosomatics and neuroses of the individual without his finding out about it. It doesn't necessarily improve his reality or his ability, but it certainly subtracts from his beingness a lot of the things that were blocking any further progress. This is an interesting fact. I don't care what else is read into it, it's just a fact. It's a matter of our experience over a long period of time. Well, there's a brand new one in the running of an engram. What in that incident would you be willing to be? And if you don't doodle-daddle around about it and monkey and shove tobacco cans into electric fans and do other things auditors are not supposed to do, if you just audit by the code, that incident is going to go fzz. The kick is going to come out of the incident. And rapidly. Beingness can be run on relatively low-level cases. Now, you could take somebody who's totally spinning and you could ask him, is there anything around here that you'd be willing to be? He'll find something, sugar bowl or something. And all of a sudden, start coming out of his psychosis just like that. Because all psychosis is, in terms of experience, is an unwillingness to be anything. Which, of course, is a necessity to attack everything. A guy's got down to zero beingness. Neurosis is a person is unwilling to be to such a degree that they can't confront even thinking about not being it. But every time it gets in any way re-stimulated, they go, meow. Some of you people possibly have stage fright. You wonder how I can stand up in front of a lot of people and talk to them. Several ways of doing it. One is just not being here. A lot of speakers do that. They never seem, however, to communicate with the audience. It's a mystery, you know. Another method is just be there. Another method is be willing to be somebody who is speaking to an audience. Another thing is be willing to be an audience. There's a lot of gradients on this. This is all there is to stage fright in terms of experience. And anything else connected with it. But you can find Dianetically, particularly with a meter, the exact moment on the whole track when the individual became convinced that he was not willing to be a speaker. He just decided at that instant. Oh, I don't know, he was a member of an audience, or he was walked in the back of a hall or something like that as the head of the Gestapo or the secret police of Markab, and some fellow was mouthing evolutionary activities at a mile a minute or something like that, and so they lifted their Tommy gun and shot the speaker, something like that, you know, some kind of an overt. It's always an overt against the thing they're unwilling to be. And you run this down, you find it. Oh, do I want anything to do with that incident? That's why it's a blackjack method. You say, well, now, in the auditor's code, we're going to run it. And the best part of... Don't know, oh, you can't leave. The best part of the auditor's code is always flatten the process, even if you have to flatten the PC. And a little while later, the person will say, well, I don't see anything wrong with being a speaker. I don't see anything wrong with this. Seems perfectly all right to me. And if they also say to you, but what did this incident have to do with it? Don't bother to explain. You were knocking out a neurosis of some kind or another. Don't expect it to be an intelligent neurosis. Now, old Syme psychotherapy had its tough moments. I imagine the toughest part of it was sitting there all those hours not listening. But it must have been pretty hard to know they really weren't helping anybody. It must have been a kind of a spinny situation. Now, in view of the fact that we have the psychologists of this country now maintaining that IQ can be changed, we've got the medical doctor maintaining there is such a thing as prenatal and birth engrams. We have the psychosologists... maintaining IQ and personality can be changed and so forth. And the next thing you know, we'll have them maintaining that the best thing people can do is go to the Central Organization of Scientology. But this is quite important, actually, as an announcement, because it isn't fair to suddenly begin clearing people with Scientology, with purely Scientology techniques, without having ended cycle on Dianetics. Dianetics mustn't sit there as a failure, and it doesn't sit there as a failure now. But I will tell you that it takes forceful auditing, it takes very clever auditing, it takes very clever e-metering in order to do it. And it's practically auditing with a blackjack sometimes. You find yourself sitting on the PC's chest, say, go through it once more. That's about the way it has to be sometimes. I'll give you an idea. Here's the difference between these two subjects. Anatomy properly belongs to Dianetics, which discovered most of it. But here's a large difference. We have a husband and a wife who've been feuding. I know this sounds unreasonable to you, that a husband and wife could ever have any differences. But let's say, hypothetically, that they have been feuding. Now, here is the proper, exact, long-term, and best way to handle it Scientologically. We do a marriage co-audit. We bring them both in the same room. The auditor sits down with both of them present and runs OW, overt withhold, on the wife, about the husband, while he sits there and takes it. And then you flip it and run OW on the husband about the wife. What have you done to her? What have you withheld from her? And clean them both up so they got no secrets, no more, of no kind, no how. We get that tone arm standing there and the needle quiet with sensitivity of 16. That marriage will go along just fine. I can guarantee it. That's a marriage co-op. And the best way to handle them. Now, the next thing I'd like to bring to your attention is that perhaps the wife is always mad at the husband and he can't figure out how or why or something of the sort. It seems to be a situation out of gear, just as it would be in a Scientological auditing, see? But Dianetically, you would handle it quite a different way. With an engram, sort of thing. Now, get this trick. It's a very important trick. It took me a long time to find this trick, and it's so simple, it's easily forgotten. We put the husband on the meter, and we say, when did you decide to get even with your wife? And we run it back down to the exact moment in time, and we will find a totally occluded incident, which may come up as a secondary. And we take the wife, and we find, when did you decide to get even with your husband? And we run the secondary out of him. And we produce a profound, rapid change. If we can do it. Now, this is the difference between these two subjects. There is a difference. There are two subjects. One, we clip it out with a secondary, and the other, we unburden it with OW. You say it'll eventually both amount to the same thing. Well, I'm not so sure that it'll both amount to the same thing. Because I had a PC who had been run on OW on her husband a considerable length of time and spotted her on an E-meter because I knew it wasn't getting right. It just wasn't adjusting properly. And spotted it on an E-meter on when did you decide to get even with your husband, found an incident she didn't remember, a person she didn't remember, and circumstances that she had never had in sight. She was just totally unwilling to be any part of that whole thing. Now, it wasn't that OW didn't get it. OW would have gotten it eventually. But maybe it would have been flat on a longer run. And, of course, the case would have been flatter, and the case would have been in more satisfactory condition, perhaps on the psychological side of the thing. But maybe you didn't have time for all that. Well, facing the raw meat of the public, you'd take such a person, put them on the E-meter, and you'd say, when did you decide to get even with your husband? I'm having an awful lot of time. My husband beats me every night, and he kicks me, and he throws me out of bed, and he keeps throwing me out of the window and throwing my clothes out the window after me and cutting all of my shoes up with scissors and so forth. And you ask the husband, did you ever lay a hand on her? And he says, well, as a matter of fact, I did. When we were first married, I carried her across the doorstep. This data doesn't agree. She's trying to make him guilty. Now, please note, however, that you're dealing with the stuff of neurosis, not just an ordinary disagreement. She's nuts. One of the best ways you can get this thing is locate the hidden incident and run it out. Now, how would you get rid of this incident? Well, just make her go through it a few times with old-time Dianetics. Would get rid of it if it's a light secondary. Wouldn't take you too long to do that. But that's a fast patch-up. It's good. It'll stay that way. Probably wouldn't make her any better a woman, but make her nicer to her husband. Get the difference. Now, in Scientology, you'd straighten this girl out on the sane level, and she would eventually be able to be nice to husbands. Not nice to Joe, particularly, or necessarily. You'd straighten her out on the subject of husbands. You take this thing, this fear of snakes that Scientology could handle and would handle. All you'd have to do is run help in various ways on a snake, and it'd handle this thing eventually. Perfectly well, too. But let's say a person is real batty on the subject of snakes, and they just get the idea of a snake, and they start going, Even their hands remind them of one. Well, if they're neurotic, you're not going to be able to get them to sit still to run anything very much. It won't bite or anything else. You won't get their attention on it. You just have to overwhelm them. Say, all right, what did you do with a snake, to a snake, when? Oh, I never did anything to a snake. What's the date of that? And so forth, at such and such a time, period, place, so on. Located exactly, all of a sudden, willy-nilly, they're staring at the engram. All right, what part of that incident you'd be willing to be? No, not the snake. Well, is there any part of the incident you'd be willing to be? Well, I'd be willing to be that rock down there. And here we go. We just start picking it out. All of a sudden, the incident changes, moves forward. Bang. Moves through a couple of times automatically. And we don't have a neurosis on the subject of snakes anymore.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
Dianetics is psychotherapy. It's an end cycle on psychotherapy. In old-time Dianetics, I have seen somebody auditing out of Book 1, Dianetics, the Modern Science of Mental Health, rescue somebody out of an insane asylum where they had been incarcerated as hopelessly insane for many years. Stand them up against the wall in the corridor and run them through engrams until they were sane. Of course, running through the engram is a token willingness to be, and that's why engram running works. Willing to be in the situation again. But it really might take some strong arm on the part of the auditor to get them near the situation. Might register on the meter, but not on the PC's memory. So we're dealing here, actually, with different approaches entirely. And in auditor's hands, I don't think Dianetics will clear anybody. I can clear people with Dianetics. I've never been able to teach anybody to clear with Dianetics. Some people have cleared people with Dianetics, but I'm talking about broad clearing that would anywhere near approximate any percentage of the cases at all. Oh, you'd be able to get one here and there and clear them and so forth. You have to look into Scientology for the improvement of IQ and ability. You can clear them with Scientology. It's relatively easy to do today. What will be taught on the 22nd American rather easily clears people. It's complicated. The processes are complicated, but the clearing is well assured. I don't know how long clearing takes these days. Probably 250 hours, something like that. Most cases. I haven't got any timing on the thing to amount to anything. There's a lot to know about clearing in Scientology. The goal of Dianetics was clearing. Well, I've cleared people in Dianetics, but I've not been able to teach auditors to do it. But I have taught auditors now to clear with Scientology. So that's a successful field. And quite an accomplishment. We have done the impossible. You know, there's always been some savant, messiah, wise man, soothsayer, thunderbolt that came out of the Zeus, full-armed or something, that could always come down with a bunch of hocus-pocus of some kind or another and make people into angels or something. This is always, there's always been people like this around. It never did anybody any good that I've ever been able to find out. The only possible way you could do anything for man would be to teach man to do something for man. And that's been my solution, right or wrong, and that's the way I have worked on it, and that's the direction I have worked. And it's come true. It's worked out. You should realize, however, that in the process of working all this out, there's been a terrific liability. All the way along the line, there's been a heavy liability. Very heavy. You cannot partially solve the riddle of the human mind. You might partially solve it, but you'd better not. You just better not. This is something that will not stand up to partial solution. Partial solution is a sure method of going out the bottom fast. You can't have part of the answers to the human mind any more than you can take a hand grenade and pull its pin and take your hand off the safety catch and sit there and look at it. You get your head blown off. This is dynamite. This is real dynamite. I have, to some degree, known what I've been up against under this line. The goal was set to make other people be able to help other people. That's all. It couldn't be partially solved. It would only be partially solved if I could help other people. That's a partial solution, isn't it? What I could do wouldn't matter because someday I'll get bored or something like that and kick off. Well, what's this done for anybody? Put everybody at effect, that's what. Totally at effect. Supposing you had it all solved except the overt motivator sequence. Well, that was missing. The fact that what you do to others is what you get kicked in the teeth with. Your failures, rather, on others visit home unto you. Nobody'd ever be able to explain why everybody spun in when anybody tried to help anybody. They'd have to decide then that helping people was dangerous. And that would end the whole action, wouldn't it? Or supposing you knew all about the human mind except the engram. Suppose you didn't know anything about engrams, but you knew everything else. That was the state psychology was in. You know, they couldn't explain anything. Psychiatry was in that state. They'd walk into their institutions, they'd have to list thousands of types of cases. They finally just stopped classifying and said they're all schizophrenics. Except some of them, they're paranoid schizophrenics. They had to throw their classification away. Otherwise, every case was a different class. There are only two types of psychotics. One is a computing and the other is a dramatizing. Computing psychotic is stuck in a circuit. The dramatizing psychotic is running endlessly through an engram. You go down to an institution. If you know Dianetics, you go into an institution, you know exactly what any patient there is doing. It's an open book. All they're doing is dramatizing their engrams. They're totally in, that's all. Or they're dramatizing the circuit. But supposing you didn't know anything about engrams, then there would be the greatest wonder here. You'd be stuck in the mystery of it all. Supposing you knew all about the human mind except thetans. You knew nothing about thetans. Well, just look at it. I mean, if you could imagine a subject which would know all about the human mind, but nothing about the actual being himself. Look at how its practitioners and followers would spin in. They would think it was all being done by the brain. And they'd spin in. Did it stick them? But good, because there'd be this missing mystery. Furthermore, there'd be absolutely no hope, and also there'd be no explanation for how anybody got that way, because the bulk of aberration is on the whole track. It's not the present lifetime. Oh, you think you've been bad in the present lifetime. Last time I met you in Rome, what you were doing then. Well, I won't tell it out in public here. If you don't know anything about the life unit, you would know nothing about life. And a thetan is a life unit. Trying is pointing out to you that if we omitted various parts of the whole pattern, we'd wind up nowhere. And almost be worse than never having studied it. Almost. And traditionally, people who study in this subject wind up utterly mad. The subject of the human mind is known to be a very dangerous subject. One of the first things you were told, probably, when you got into Dianetics or Scientology, was that you should leave your mind alone. Somebody certainly told you that. Well, it's based on the wisdom of the fact that if you don't know all there is to know about the mind, you'd better not know anything about it at all. You just better vegetabilize. Now, there are several reasons why you ought to be trained. Not just processed. There are several reasons why you ought to be trained. One is, it is better to help than be helped. Auditors are almost going clear these days, auditing people. They've developed a profound contempt for the aberrations of mankind. They have become much less important, and those things which become less important tend to fade away. But there's other reasons why. A partial knowledge of the subject isn't good enough. You've got to have an experiential knowledge. Unless you're able to be an auditor, how can you be audited? You're unwilling to experience or unable to experience being an auditor because there's wide gaps about it all. You got the idea? That's the reason why we're shifting over to a practical Scientology course, which is the same, really, as the old professional course. Individual wind up at the other end not being a professional, Nobody expects him to be a professional, but he will know all about it and be able to do it. You'll find out he makes tremendously higher gains. That isn't just a come-on, it's just good sense. Furthermore, somebody's IQ goes up to 176. Well, this is all okay, the IQ goes to 176. But that's a potential knowingness. Does he know anything with that 176? Got the idea? You give him something to know with 176. The whole of psychotherapy has been most dangerous to the practitioner in partial knowledge. Not in Dianetics or Scientology. We've always been a few thousand yards ahead of the lion. We have. We were able to get results, and fortunately, because we're cohesive, staying together and weren't being dictated to, don't think people haven't tried to dictate as to what we were supposed to research and what we were supposed to do and what we were not supposed to do. People have tried this very hard. Amongst the sinners are the American Psychiatric Association. They tried to tell us what we could do and what we couldn't do. These poor boobs can't do anything. These guys were fighting the only fellows who will eventually pull them out of the soup, because they're never going to get out of the soup on their own. One of these days, why, you may have a psychiatrist on your hands. Well, that'll be rough, man. That'll be a rough case. Because he's done the adventurous thing of entering the field of psychotherapy without knowing any of the answers. And then has punished psychotics. Because he doesn't know anything about the overt motivator sequence. He electric shocks and operates and abuses and renders dead and non-compos mentis and things, psychotic individuals. Oh, wow. Poor guys. Don't cheer, boys. The poor devils are going nuts. Because they're going to flip into that valence. And the whole subject has the reputation of putting its practitioners into asylums. Nurses, attendants, and psychiatrists and institutions, in all too great a percentage, wind up in their own institutions. I'm not just talking through, I'm not even fighting this organization. I'm just telling you factually that they are lucky that we exist. And yet they are the last ones to give us a break. And yet, if they ever pull out of it, it'll be because of us. A typical psychotic reaction to cut to pieces only those who would help them. But if you know the subject, and you know the subject well, you of course know the mind. And you have experiential data on the subject of the mind, and it doesn't baffle you anymore. And of course, just on that basis alone, you become more able. There's all sorts of auditors around who, auditing a PC, have practically spun themselves in. They've had a dozen failures on the same PC, you know, consecutively, auditing the PC when they are tired, auditing the PC under the various conditions that it'd be absolutely, completely certain that the auditor would wind up almost spun in. Well, how is it that they don't? Because they don't. Psychiatrists do, but auditors don't. They wake up the next morning and it all goes out of re-stim. That's because they understand enough about it not to be afraid of it. They may think for a day or two and wonder, what was it all about? That would just be the missing data that they had about the thing. Then they come out of it. But knowing enough about it, they are no longer afraid of it and so are no longer resisting it. If you can solve or resolve or as is, more importantly, psychosis and neurosis, then let me assure you that you don't mind being it. Of course, you've got the question of being it perpetually. Well, that's a conditional beingness. Adds the illusion of time. If you get the idea of being a psychotic perpetually, however, of course, it as is being a psychotic perpetually. The universe can't win, that's all. Not with us around. So here is the breadth of what we're doing today. We have two distinct spheres of action. Many of the old-timers are pretty slippy with old Dianetics. They can do some weird things with dynamics. Well, if they add that skill to good skill with an E-meter and follow the meter and use the type of process of what part of that incident would you be willing to be, this type of shortcut auditing, they all of a sudden find that this becomes very simple. And they can knock out neuroses or little psychotic bugs out of a case with great rapidity. What of compulsion obsessions do you have? What are you most afraid of? Make a list of these things and just knock them out. And then go on with auditing with Scientology. This would be an interesting method of proceeding. Got the idea? What they're liable to do, however, is try to finish a case with Dianetics. Yeah, they would utterly finish a case being neurotic and psychotic. And what would they have left? A humanoid. I beg your pardon. I apologize. There's probably two or three in the audience. But the recognition of the spheres of knowledge of existence and what those things are, that all by itself tends to drop the mystery out of it all and permits one to more closely experience existence. Let's take some fellow who's been reading space opera. I know, I like to read space opera. I've written a lot of it. As a matter of fact, they don't write it anymore. But this fellow just can't seem to keep his nose out of space opera, and he said, gee, I'd like to do that sometime in the future. When this civilization, when we get really geared up, and when we really get into the future, and when we really have spaceships, and when we really, and all this time he has this horrible burning sensation on the end of his nose, you know, and he can't quite account for that. But he's into space opera, but he's not in space opera, but he likes to read it, but it has a horrible effect on him. And well, the first time he can enjoy space opera is when he finds out he's been a rocket jockey for the last 18 dozen lives. No wonder he gets a burning nose. One of the favorite skills he had back in the early days of one of the space societies was shooting off dolls' noses. He didn't like to hurt him. He just singed their noses, you know. Fast draw. You wonder why all these guys are fixated on Western movies. Western movie is mostly a substitute for space opera, if you only knew it. It's space opera that's full of the fast draw and shoot 'em dead. Listen, human bodies are not bulletproof. I don't know if you've ever experienced that fact or not. Probably not in this lifetime, but you do have some evidence to this effect. If somebody stood up and pointed a gun at you, something in you would tell you that it would make a hole in you. Well, I wonder how you learned that. Not by watching Western movies, because they all die very cleanly and very calmly, mostly, except when they're being filmed with realism. Then they spatter a little blood on the fellow's shirt, you know, make him cough twice. Factually speaking, it takes a doll, if you please, a non-humanoid body to be able to stand up to firearms of that character. There isn't any reason you should be killed dead just because you're shot. There isn't any real reason why it should hurt very badly. You're afraid right now of traveling down an icy, slippery road at 110 miles an hour. You'd say that'd be a bum show. Why? If you were in a doll body, so it plows into the concrete abutment. And it dents up your new shirt. Next time you think of it, back at the base, while you're over to the armor and you say, hey, pound out my chest, would you? That's right, pound it up, smooth it up a little bit. The enamel's cracked there, too. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's better. And you haven't learned not to go 110 miles an hour on icy roads, because there's no reason to learn it. It isn't a particularly dangerous activity. And the Markab Confederacy, within the last 200,000 years, racing cars went 275 miles an hour and were turbine driven. Everybody thinks a racing car should sound like a Marcab racing car. Just ask somebody, how should a racing car sound? Well, they don't say brrrr like an Earth racing car. They say, It's a Marcab racing car. They don't have any here on Earth. Everybody knows how it is. I wonder why they know this so well. Well, they were using meat bodies on some of that stuff, and boy, did they get messed up. Meat bodies. Imagine driving in racing cars like that. Practically cured everybody of driving, so nobody on Earth can drive. But I don't want to talk about past track because some amongst us are in the innocent state of thinking they have lived only once and are right here. But I will give those who have been annoyed by people who sneered, you know, how a guy can cover up 99.999999% of his experience and say it never existed and then be happy thereafter, I wouldn't know. But people seem to be trying this. And you'll find many bad-off cases are very afraid of going into the backtrack or are trying desperately to do so but can't, they tell you. Well, there's an HAS co-audit process to be released shortly, which takes care of this. It's an old one, an old process. Tell me something you wouldn't mind forgetting. Run long enough, the fellow's memory keeps improving, his memory keeps improving, his memory keeps improving, and his memory. Spiders' bodies are very hard to move, aren't they? Oh, I never had anything like that. Tell me something you wouldn't mind forgetting. Oh, well, that I ever had a spider's body. That'll turn on your backtrack. I know of only one case that couldn't run it. And he kept answering it this way. Tell me something you wouldn't mind forgetting. He'd say, well, I wouldn't mind forgetting an appointment, somebody I didn't... Well, I don't know. I don't know. I probably ought to remember that. He kept going on this way for some time. We caught him about a year later and audited him again. By this time, he could run it. We must have done something else to him. Well, for a long time, he couldn't run it. But most cases can run this, and with great benefit. You want to improve your memory? Get it run. That turns on your whole track and makes life much less mysterious. It's like Susie, Director Security, and I take her out in back of the house up against the hill, and he gives her a gun, which is a model of an old Western Gat, Peacemaker, and we show her how to load the thing. He shows her how to load it, rather, and so on. She's standing there, she's supposed to shoot that box over there. See, well, Susie is a nice, delicate little feminine girl. You know Mary Sue, and you don't expect a nice, delicate little feminine girl, even if she is from Galveston or Houston or something. You don't expect her to pick the thing up and fan it 6 times. We tried to get her to shoot it some other way, but she couldn't hit anything. But fanning it. Yeah. We didn't bother to teach her much more about guns. But it's a terrible mystery to a guy, finding he has memories, odd nightmares, odd skills, and if he's never doesn't know anything about a Thetan or having been around except in this life, then he has no accounting for it, and he's really stuck in the mystery of it all, isn't he? Well, anyway, today, your case is pretty well taped. One of the best ways to tape your case is by being able to experience taping cases. I'll give it to you frankly. You can't sit and be a PC forever. You can't be the effect of anything forever. You've got to reverse that line sometime or another. Well, it's pretty easy to do. Now, the world is far too accustomed to these fellows who march forth upon the stage of affairs and magically wave the magic wand and drive thousands of swine out of PCs or something. And all at a, you know, hocus pocus prestidigitosis and you have no leprosis. The world has been pretty well indoctrinated into this type of individual and has been convinced that it is some peculiar thing, some long spark that makes it possible for them to do this, and that it is a beingness of such magnitude that they would never possibly be able to approximate it because it is native in that individual and not in themselves. You'll find that this mechanism has been done time after time after time on the whole track. Now, the only thing that makes it impossible for you to do this sort of thing is you just don't know how, that's all. You just might as well get over the idea that you have to be a messiah. I'm just a guy. And appeared at the right crossroads at the right time. He lied. And put the thing together. But the point is, the knowledge is there. The knowledge isn't something I dreamed up. The knowledge is residual in you, or you wouldn't even be able to understand it. The knowledge is yours as much as mine. You should be able to know how to use that knowledge. You should be able to know all about that knowledge and stop respecting it as something super special, because it's just the woof and warf of which life is made. And if you don't understand all sides of it, you won't get any place. Most Scientologists have as their only nightmare kicking off and not being able to remember Scientology. That would be a rough one. The easiest way to do that is something you wouldn't mind forgetting. Get the forgetter on. You see, people are obsessively remembering all the time and they never decide to forget things, really. It's all on automatic. Take it off automatic and you remember all the data. But I can already assure you that people, when they back out of their heads, when they've been trained, they don't forget it. They think of their responsibilities and they think of this and they think of that. And when they're back there about 8 feet, they find they're still stuck on something, so they audit the beam off and depart. Then they'd get overwhelmed and conscience-stricken about it all and come back and pick up the mock-up. And they'll tell me about it occasionally. Well, I almost dropped the mock-up the other day, but I got to thinking, what would you do for a D of P or something like that, you know? Brings them back. But they do fly out of their heads knowing all about it, providing they know all about it. And I'll assure you of something. You can't remember something you don't know anything about. It's pretty hard to do. Now, the whole of cases today has only one hole in it, and that is because of me. I know I don't have very much to do. I'm very lazy. And it's been very remiss of me not to get it all down in book form, right up to date, spang. I haven't been able to do that. The only thing I can do is put it on tapes and teach it in some courses. And one of these days, when you get good enough to carry your share of the load, why, then I can write it all down for the future. So help me out, will you?